2 Corinthians chapter number 4 this morning, and we'll start in verse number 1, and then we'll pray, and I hope to be a blessing this morning to you. The Bible says this, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And this morning, I want to talk to you about this subject, a heavenly treasure on earth. Have you ever thought about all the things you can gather here up on earth? They're all temporal things. But there's one thing the Bible says that God gives us that's a heavenly treasure that we can have right now on earth. And I believe it's the only treasure, the only heavenly treasure that you can get and have right now on earth, share it with other people, and then bring it along with you to heaven. Everything else we have to leave behind, right? We have to leave our clothes behind, we have to leave our cars behind, all those kind of things. But there's a heavenly treasure that we get on this earth that we can take with us when we get to heaven. And I'll talk about that this morning. Let's pray, though. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the time you've given us. Lord, I pray that I can just be a blessing to people. And Lord, I pray I can just help them out. Lord, I ask you to help me, though. Lord, fill me with your spirit. God, I need your help most of all. And Lord, I don't want to be magnified in any way. I just want to magnify and lift up your name. God, I want you to have all honor and glory and praise this morning. And Lord, we do pray for those that maybe couldn't be here this morning, that health wouldn't let them. Lord, I ask you just lift up their bodies, give them strength in their bodies, and others, Lord, maybe they're just struggling, and they just didn't make it, and they're struggling spiritually. Lord, I pray you'd help them, encourage them to get here, and Lord, those that are here, Lord, I pray that you'd lift their burdens off them this morning. God, I pray that they'd see you in a new light. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. Amen. I want you to look back down in verse number 7 real quick. I'll repeat this verse. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." This treasure in earthen vessels. And does anybody know what that treasure is that it's talking about there? This treasure in earthen vessels. Pardon me? The soul? Nope. Pardon me? The Holy Spirit? No. Faith? No. Close, though. They're all good answers. And I would classify Jesus Christ as probably a good answer on this one, because I'll show you what it is here in a second. If you look back in verse number in context of this passage in the verses, it talks about the gospel. It says, but if our gospel be hid, right? And then in verse number 4, it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. It says, then we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. For it says, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, for God. And it talks about that gospel, okay, that light. And it says, but we have this treasure, the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's the definition according to the scriptures. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The treasure that you contain in your body, this treasure, this heavenly treasure, is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? When God gave that to you, you get to keep it for all eternity. You get to have it here now on earth, and you get to take it with you when you're in heaven. It's a treasure. I'm going to talk about this treasure just a little bit in three parts of this treasure, okay? And I hope this will be a help to you. In verses 1 through 6, we find the handling of the treasure, how you're supposed to handle this treasure, how you're supposed to deal with this treasure. And I'll read again. It says, therefore, starting in verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I'm going to stop right there. Concerning this treasure, the gospel, I believe we should handle the gospel with purity. And there's some specific things in verse number 2, and it says that Paul says, I've renounced, or I've put away, or I've gone away from, I've walked away from the hidden things of dishonesty. And that word dishonesty is talking about shame. And he's talking about his former life, the way he used to be. He's walked away from those things, the shameful things, the things he doesn't want to speak of, the way he used to carry himself. And, you know, last week I told you a little bit about my testimony that I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and there's some things that I did when I was a young person, a teenager, that I'm not proud of. And I said, I really don't care to talk about those things because I don't want to glory in sin. And the Bible gives a list in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, I believe. He gives a list. Paul gives a list of different types of things, different types of sins, and then he says, as such were some of you. As such were some of you. You were like this, but now you've been, you know, changed, you've been justified, you've been sanctified. And, you know, I think about my past, and nobody ever has to remind me about my past more than myself. And to be honest, there's some people that I know, and when somebody would come that's new or something like that, maybe a preacher or something like that, they knew, this person would have this habit of telling them all about my life when I was a teenager, and I hated that, because that's not how I am anymore, and I hate looking at those things. I really do. I don't like them. I'm reminded of them. Every time I do something, I'm reminded of my own past, and I think, you know, I care not to be that way anymore. I care not to go down that road anymore. And I want to handle the treasure that God has given me, the gospel. I want to handle it in purity now. I don't want to be reminded of those tainted things. Amen. And by the way, just to help some of you, if somebody's ever struggled, you know, fallen on their face, maybe it's a Christian, they fall on their face, they've backslidden, but they want to get right, you help them get right, okay? Don't keep reminding them of their past. That's not going to help them. Okay? You just have to forgive them like Christ forgives them and help them move on from that point on. Okay? It doesn't help to keep reminding, well, they did this and well, they did that and blah, blah, blah. Hey, that's all under the blood. Right? It's all under the blood. And there's no use to hold grudges against somebody. And And Brother Reiser's sitting back here, and he's going to hate what I'm going to do to him right now. But some of you know all about his life when he was a young person and how he acted. I have no clue how he acted. Now, I can guess, but I have no clue. But those of you that know and have maybe have kids that have to sit underneath him, don't you dare bring up his past to your kids. Don't you dare. That's wicked. That's wrong. Because he's a man of God that God has placed in their lives to try and help them. You know, the things that he did in his past, he's learned from those mistakes. And he's, you know, the young people that I had to deal with, some of the things I saw in their life are the same things that I dealt with. And I knew about those things and I was trying to help them. And some of their parents would remind them, oh, well, he did this when he was young. Well, that's not going to help me trying to move them along past those things. I didn't want them to go down the same road that I went down. So don't you dare use anything against him. Okay? You support him and love him. You know? And by the way, and just to help him out just a little bit in front of your kids and those kind of things, and, you know, call him Brother Reiser. Okay? That's proper. That helps him. You shouldn't call him by his first name and those kind of things in front of your children. Because there's a respect level, okay, that he has to carry. And every time you take that and cut that down, you make his job harder. By the way, he's just trying to help your kids. So same thing with Pastor Jerry, you know. The same thing goes for him. You know, don't call him by his first name and just in front of your kids. Don't do that. You're not helping him. And all he's trying to do is help you help them, okay? And hopefully that'll be a help to you. And as far as the hidden things of dishonesty, those shameful things, listen, as far as you and I go, we need to walk away from those shameful things. Don't dwell in those shameful things. Don't live in those shameful things. You know, there's too many people that consume their life in their past. And they're all caught up in their past all the time, and they can never get past it. You know, they never walk forward anymore. They're always dwelling in their past. Listen, just renounce those things and walk away from those things. God will help you with that. You don't have to live there anymore. And that'll help you walk with that treasure of the gospel in purity. Because if you don't walk away from those things, all you're doing is you're tainting yourself all the time. And that's not going to help you. And then it moves on. It says this. It says, not walking in craftiness. Okay? Now that word walk is talking about a way of life. A continual way of life. And the word craftiness is pretty self-explanatory. But it's talking about trickery, really. And, you know, I know a lot of people that their life is consumed in just trickery. Their life is a lie. And they put on this air about them that they're a certain way, but really nothing about them is true. And there's preachers like that, unfortunately. And you know, you have to be careful. Everything about you should magnify truth, because the gospel is truth. And be careful that you don't live your life in a false manner, okay? Be honest. Be truthful in all your dealings. And here's just a little example. Now, my wife's sitting down here, so I can pick on her a little bit, because she picks on me all the time, so this is my chance to get back. But, no, I'm just joking. But most of you wives and husbands can understand this question. When the wife comes out and says, honey, how do I look? That's the most loaded question I've ever heard. You know? honey, how do I look? And, you know, if she comes out, and by the way, my wife comes out and she always looks beautiful. I'm not lying. I see her, she's always beautiful. And even when she's sick and puking and all those kind of things. Trickery, right? But if she asks you how she looks, And then the first thought in your mind as a husband is, if I say that that looks bad, I'm dog meat. And then the next thought in your mind says, but if I tell her it looks good and she goes out in public and somebody else tells her it looks bad, I'm dog meat. It's just a lose-lose situation. And but really, my wife would appreciate it, I think, if I was just honest with her. You know, if something didn't look right, she'd like it better if I said, you probably shouldn't go out like that. And now I don't have to worry about that. Now, she might have to worry about that with me every once in a while. Like, she might have to come and say, sweet, really, you shouldn't wear that in public. Okay. So, honesty. And that's just a little example. It's kind of funny, but it's just a little example of just staying truthful. Not walking in deceit. Everything you should do should be in truth. Handling this treasure in truth. Because you represent the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it moves on. It says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. And, I could spend a lot of time here. But there's all kinds of preachers out there that handle the word of God deceitfully. Now, that word deceitfully, or deceit there, is really talking about for gain's sake, for gain. And I don't know about you, but every once in a while, if I have the opportunity, if I'm spending a night in a motel or something like that, I like to turn on one of those Christian TV stations and look at all the false teachers. I either like to laugh at them or I have to shut them off because they make me mad. And, you know what they're doing? They're handling the word of God deceitfully. You know, there's this guy, and he's got frilly hair and curly, and I hope none of you watch him other than make fun of him, maybe. His name is Joel Osteen. And, everything that he's... Every time I've seen him on TV, he's got this, million-dollar grin on his face. And every time he smiles, like... Cha-ching, every time he smiles, I know somebody's putting money in the offering plate for some reason because he just has that smile about him. And every time he preaches a message, I've never heard anything other than, God loves you. And, God does love you, but he hates your sin, And he showed his love by dying on the cross for your sin and taking a brutal death. Amen. Because he hates sin and he had to pay for it somehow. But every time I listen to him or I've heard him, it's always, God loves you. And, if you just... put some money in the offering plate, God loves you, and that kind of thing. He's handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, as Christians, in a congregation, you might not ever stand up and preach, and, you shouldn't preach for money anyway, but just in day-to-day life, listen, you shouldn't use the Bible to gain for yourself. And you say, well, what do you mean? I've known husbands that have used their Bible to beat their wives into submission for their own personal gain, Well, the Bible says this, so you have to do this. And they take the Bible out of context, they twist it and change it, and use it for their own advantage. There's women that have done that with their husbands. Parents that have done that to their children. Be careful, if you own a business, don't use the Bible to justify your sins, Handle it where it needs to be handled. Look at it right. Rightly divide the word of truth, okay? And you got awfully quiet on me. I must have pushed on a button there. Beep, beep, And then it continues on and it says, but this is how you're supposed to handle this treasure. Okay, it says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now that word commending there, it means to combine, okay, or be a part of. In other words, Paul said, what I'm going to do with my life is I'm going to take my life in the way it is, and I'm going to live it in such a way that I combine it or I put it together with every man's conscience. I'm going to live in such a way that I wouldn't defile anybody else's conscience. I'm going to live the life that Lord Jesus Christ wants me to live. Now, if you thought about, if you just think about that for a second, if you were to ask yourself, do you live in such a way that you wouldn't defile another person's conscience, the person sitting next to you? Do you live in such a way that you say, well, I'm going to do my best to live right because my wife is counting on me. Her conscience is counting on me. Or my husband's conscience is counting on me. Or my children's conscience, the way they are going to grow up, is counting on me in the way I live. And you commend yourselves, you put yourselves together with that person. That'll help you live a more sober life, wouldn't it? It helps me live a little bit sober life, and sometimes I forget about those things because we're all selfish, aren't we? And we all want things for ourselves. And but that's not what the Bible says. We're supposed to handle what we've got, this treasure, the gospel, the truth. We're supposed to handle it in purity, and we're supposed to bond that to another person's life. And that'll help you at home, especially husbands with your wives. And, you know, I'll just be frank. I'm not very good at this, and I need to learn to do better. I'm learning every day. But my wife counts on me to do what's right. She does. And I'm the leader of the home, and I ought to be the leader of the home. And that means I need to live a life that counts for Christ so that she can count on me. And that'll help all of you husbands in here. So we're supposed to handle this treasure in purity. Not only that, but we're also supposed to handle this treasure with proclamation. Listen to this. It says in verse number 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Listen, we're supposed to share the treasure we've got. Proclaim. Now, I don't know about you, but I like treasure hunts, stuff like that, you know. If somebody gave me a map and said, if you follow all this and you'll find a treasure, I would like to do that, you know. And I'd be excited about that. And I'd do whatever I could to find that treasure. And you know what? If I was on that treasure hunt and I found, you know, a big pot of gold or whatever, a big chest of, you know, rubies and diamonds and all those things, I'd be awfully excited about that thing, wouldn't you? I'd be jumping up and down saying, hooray, hooray, and I'd be wanting to, look what I found, you know? And then I'd be like, no, mine, not yours. but I'd be excited to tell somebody, you know? I'd be excited about that thing. Well, you ought to be excited about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this treasure that you have inside you. You should share that with somebody else so they can have the same treasure you have. The death, burial, and resurrection. You know, their sins forgiven. And listen, the devil's done a good job of blinding people. And what he's done is, those that don't believe, he's taken everything to twist truth so that they will not believe. And he does all kinds of things. I mean, the newest thing now is that, you know, somebody says they found the Lord Jesus Christ's bones and his family's bones in some sepulcher. Well, I got news for them. I serve a risen Savior, and he lives. They can't find his bones. They're not there. Somebody must have conjured those things up. And you say, well, you know, but most real scientists say that these people don't have a leg to stand on anyway. But, you know, the devil does a good job putting that in the media, though. And what's he doing? He's blinding the minds of those that don't believe. Because the light, the glorious gospel, doesn't shine in them. But we have that light. And we ought to give it to them. Moving on, I want to show you not only the handling of this treasure, and you're supposed to handle it with purity, and you're supposed to proclaim that you have this treasure, but I want to show you the place of this treasure. Verse number 7 says this, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The treasure, the heavenly treasure, we have it in an earthen vessel. Now, an earthen vessel is something frail, it's fragile, okay? Like a clay pot. And, you know, if you drop a pot on the ground, usually they break, right? They crack, all those kind of things. They're frail. And we have this wonderful, glorious treasure stuck in our earthen, frail bodies. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? I'll show you. Verse number 7 continues, it says, "That the excellency of the power of may be of God and not of us." See, the reason God gave us this heavenly treasure and put it in such a frail body is because when God changes our life, nobody has any excuse to say, well, they did that on their own. That they know that the power, the excellency of the power of God did it. Amen. And that when somebody gets saved and you see a transformation in their life, you know, if I witness to somebody, and, you know, a few weeks ago, or is it 3 weeks ago, I guess, I talked to a young man and he got saved. And you know what? That wasn't me. And nobody should pat me on the back. Oh, he's such a great soul winner. You know, it's not of me. It's the excellency of the power of God because I'm just a frail human body. My mind's weak, my body's weak, everything about me is weak, but God is powerful. And by the way, the same thing goes for you. And that's why you can go out and go soul winning, because we're all in the same boat, we're all frail, and we just need the power of God, don't we? And it's not of us. And some people say, well, I just couldn't do that. You're right, you can't do that, but Jesus Christ can. So you have no excuse. We're all a clay pot holding a mighty treasure. And all he wants to do is share that treasure and show what and when things happen, it's just the power of God. And that'll help you. Too many people get, you know, puffed up in themselves and think more of themselves than they ought to. And listen, it's not about me and it's not about you, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. And when something happens, something great that's happened, you know, it's not because you're great and I'm great and anything that we do is great. It's because God's great. Amen. Yes, sir. And if we'd all be reminded about that, it'd help us. It'd just help us a lot. I believe that. And, you know, unfortunately, and I get in this position sometimes, I don't know about you, but, you know, when things are going great as far as ministry is concerned, I think, wow, we've done a great job. Listen, we haven't done a great job. Jesus Christ has done a great job. He's done more than a great job. He's done a powerful, wonderful job. And that word there, power, is the same word that we get our word dynamite from. And I don't know about you, but that kind of scares me. We got some dynamite in our bodies. In this clay, fragile body, we've got dynamite. And that's good, though, because when it explodes, it blows up all over everybody. And I hope that helps you. The place of that treasure is in a clay, fragile pot. All so that God can have His glory and we can't. Glory in ourselves. Not only do we see the handling of this treasure and the place of this treasure, but I want to show you the value of the treasure here quickly. In verses 8 through 18, it says this. It says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, that treasure has eternal value. That you have a heavenly treasure here on this earth. I hope that means something to you. You have great value that lies within you. And, you know, I'm not big on this, like, self-esteem kind of thing. You know, and now I don't think people should, you know, always feel down and out about themselves, so to speak. You know, because if you walk around like Eeyore, you know, how many of you know who Eeyore is? Okay. I know Disney's sinful, but, you know, Eeyore is a good example of, you know, somebody asked him how he's doing. He's like, okay. You know, he's always, you know, and every time something would happen, he's, you know, I told you so, or I knew that wouldn't work, or whatever. And then you have, you know, Tigger, who's like, boing, 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 everywhere, and nothing ever is wrong with him, you know. It's boing, 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 boing. And, and he reminds me of some of the kids I see around here, like, boing, 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 boing. And you know why? They don't have a care in the world. And they don't let things bother them so much. And so they're just kind of boing, 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 boing. And but listen, you want to feel good about yourself? You have the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, a heavenly treasure inside you. You're worth something to God. You know that? You're worth so much, he paid his own, paid by his own blood on the cross. He valued you that much. You're worth something to God. And don't think otherwise, you know. I'm joint heirs with Jesus. You know that? I have everything that Jesus Christ has. I'm joint heirs with him. Everything that's sitting in heaven right now, I'm joint heirs with him. That's what the Bible says. And that doesn't mean I need to be arrogant, but I am a child of the King. Amen. And because of that, the Bible says this in verse number 8. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. What does that mean? Troubled, that word troubled and distressed, it's talking about they're being pressed on, okay? They're pressed on like squeezing grapes, but they're not confined, like being stuck in a room. In other words, they might have some trouble here on earth, but they're not confined. They have freedom in Christ. They have liberty. You know, there might be times where they're perplexed. They're at their wit's end, so to speak. And Pastor Ross, you could probably understand this probably more than anybody in this room. But sometimes in the ministry, you're probably, what do I do? You know? Well, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm at wit's end, so to speak. When I worked with young people in Florence, sometimes I just looked at them and said, I have no clue what to do. I don't know what to do with this kid. I know what I want to do to this kid, but I don't know what to do with this kid. And but there's something that's great in there. It says we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We haven't come to a place where there's not an answer. There's always an answer in Christ. I don't have to come to the place where I just give up and quit. There might be times where I don't understand what I'm supposed to do or where I'm supposed to go at the time. But listen, there's always an answer in Christ, and I can rely on that, and I can sink my teeth into that, and I can be comforted in that because I hold the treasure of God inside me, the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of God, and he's going to lead me and guide me into all truth. And it continues on, but I won't go through that just because of time. But listen, living for Jesus is not going to kill you. You say, well, am I? I might get martyred. Listen, the Bible says this in verse number 14. It says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Listen, you don't have to worry about things on this earth. You don't have to get down and out and, oh, what's going on? I just don't understand and I just want to quit. I just want to give up. You don't have to be like that. You don't. I mean, you might come to that place every once in a while. But listen, there's an answer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when all else fails, remember what treasure you have inside you, that heavenly treasure. That'll help you out. Remember that God's always on your side, and remember that He holds you of eternal value. And listen, when you're out doing the work of God, and somebody gets saved, it's worth all the little trouble. The Bible says Paul went through light affliction, didn't it? Light affliction. And, you know, as Americans, I think we whine too much, just to be honest. And we don't know persecution. We really don't. We just whine and cry, and we're pampered and spoiled. And I'm guilty of the same thing, you know? And I'm too sore to do this, or I'm too tired to do this. And listen, our light affliction is just for but a moment. And we ought to share the heavenly treasure of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ with those who we can, so they can have the same thing we have, right? So they can just have light affliction instead of heart affliction, right? I don't know about you, but when I got saved, Jesus lifted all the burden away. And then the ones that come along, He helps me with those. But lost people don't have that. They just got to bear it. So, a heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, a heavenly treasure that we have here on earth. I hope this helps you a little bit. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the time you've given us, Lord. I pray for the service to come. I pray you'd help Pastor Jerry as he preaches. Lord, give him power and authority. And Lord, open our hearts. Lord, may we see great and mighty things today. In Jesus' name, amen.